Is the veil a calumny in Islam? Truth or falsehood?
A dialogue between a Western Orientalist and a Muslim savant about the verity of the philosophy of the veil in Islam.
The importance of marriage contract. You, most of the Easterners, hold fast to hereditary traditional norms in vain. These norms bequeath you diseases and psychic complexes that cause depression for your boys and girls. Thus, you cut off all connections and social relations in separating the two sexes. You cover charms, beauties, and juvenility in jet black curtains that do not suit modern civilization. Moreover, your women lurk in houses. Where is the freedom then? You are stigmatized by backwardness and retardation. What is the complexity for and the separation between the sexes? Give them freedom until their motives are replenished. Then they will be bored and these psychosexual motives will be extirpated. Let the young man and the young woman set out to build up their country while their motives cool down and their instincts are put out. The spirit is bored and exhausted with them, and its burning fire is extinguished. Then they will prepare themselves for construction and work with fruitful production and affluence. From this side, I know that you are going to answer in fixed replies without logic, proof, nor even a dialogue. You are going to tell me that this is adultery and interrupt the discussion without any understanding, consciousness, or perception.
My brother, the Western scholar, is that all without marriage contract?
By God, my dear brother Arab Muslim, is that the paper which you write? Is that the thing which makes the prohibited licit? Otherwise one enters a bonfire that burns him for enjoying beauty, depriving him from paradise? Isn't God the spring of all beauty and he loves beauty too? Why couldn't the creature practice praying for love and beauty unless with this paper that can be blown with the wind?
My brother, the Western scholar, I shall go on in the dialogue a little in order to arrive at the outcome of this paper, and you can evaluate the problem by its results and ends. Let us suppose we have rejected the paper, so the young man can love the beautiful girl. She also loves him, and they have practiced love without the paper, and procreated boys and girls. Then the lover dies suddenly. The question, who will take care of all the boys and girls and this beloved woman, broken at the death of her protector, who plucked the flower of her youth and threw her, without security, into destitution, poverty, lowness, and disgrace? What is the destiny of the orphan children? Surely the inheritors of the young man and his family would throw the orphans and their mother onto the street because their illegal father died and calamity befell on his widow and his children. Yes, the inheritors, like a brother, a sister, a father and a mother, and relatives, will take everything with them, beds, chattels, victuals, drinks, and the residence, by the power of law. They will say to them, the inheritance is for the legal kinsmen, and you shall have the stone. Then, my brother, Western scholar, for the sake of beauty and consummation, you can see what you called a mere paper did. That is the marriage lines. If that paper could make from the adulteress an honest woman, and from the children of the adulteress respectable, legal sons, could anyone rob the legacy of their father, or drive them out of their residence? They will become poor, criminals, enemies of what they see as a severe society, only because of this paper. What will the community call the woman? An adulterous prostitute or an honest wife? Who would like to share their life with her as a wife and take her offspring as a heavy burden and an earmark of shame? Where is her inheritance? How could she live in prostitution after her youth had withered away? How could she bear the difficulty and bitterness of life? Who would befriend her? All these troubles are because of the paper that you mocked, my dear. This is the law of the merciful God. This is a part of the reply to the second section of your logical question. Let us tackle now the first part of it.
My brother Muslim scholar, I do not know what to say. In fact, you surprised me in your humane scientific reply, which I never would have thought to be found in your religion. Verily, there is sublime elevated eminence in your religion that contains mercy and social security in its affection. Nevertheless, it is a fortified fortress for the widow and her children for a life filled with joy and happiness. Please, give me more of gnomes of your sublime wise religion. I have never heard of such logical discussion in the studies of the Islamic religion. But how did you get the veil for the woman? A complete veil where there is no vestige in it for an entertainer. I'd like to tell you that a few days ago, I was roaming through the alleys of the very old city, looking for the ruins of the fathers and forefathers during the forenoon, when I was attacked by a black ghost. It appeared suddenly, and I jumped up into the air in fright, but it passed me peacefully. Perhaps it was a young, beautiful woman, but the loose, jewelry veil curtained her, even her face. The veil gave her shape of a fearful black ghost. By God, what is this fearful Islamic uniform for?
Verily, dear scholar, it is a fearful sight. To repel the Satan of the spirit and its fatal whim, to repulse from her abomination and disgrace, and for us to look away from the illicit, and to look for the licit and accept it. By intention we have designed this uniform for our women.
You have been partial to this abnormal and discordant uniform to hide beauty, charm, and juvenility?
Yes, when we all maintained the veil from the time of the Honorable Messenger, communication with Allah and peace are through him. In Al-Medina, the striking result was that we reserved the inclinations of the youth from the stage of adolescence. Then we guided them towards good, virtue, and consummation, and they darted into matchless conquests never heard of before by mankind. Many nations accepted and applied the veil. Most Asiatic and African peoples accepted it by their own free will because of its sublimity. Moreover, many European nations adopted it. In fact, we preserved all Freudian sex powers by this curtain or veil, and directed them towards good and production.
What are you saying? Do you mean by this wonderful veil you reigned and led the countries of the world? Please, more clarification, details, and explanations.
Oh, you scholar who is looking after Reformation, you visited our houses in their Arabic style of building, and you saw their airiness and vastness. Aren't they so?
Yes, my Muslim brother, verily, I am amazed at their designs and construction. From the crooked old roads outside, which are without art or design, I entered some old-fashioned Arab houses and was extremely astounded at their vast yards and large courts, surrounded by basins and planted with flowers and fruitful trees of various kinds, and vineyards hanging with bunches of grapes. Meanwhile, the scent and fragrance of jasmines, narcissi, carnations, and lilies perfume the place, not to mention the ponds with flowing, sparkling water. There is an orchard with hanging fruits in every house, and the walls and the doorways reflect the green color of the garden. Thus, I wandered from the despicable roads to the majesty and beauty of the houses with flourishing gardens. Why?
What you have said is true. We are Muslims, and we did that by intention and design. We made the roads crooked and narrow, where light could rarely penetrate them. In return for that, we made paradises from our houses. Thus, we realized wondrous miracles in our conquests. Suppose a certain man was lost in the jungles for a few months, plucking fruit and living on natural plants. And then he met a woman, whatsoever the degree of her beauty. Won't his heart incline to her? And won't he accept her in that land arid of people, without women, in the jungle? Won't he accept her as a partner in his life in these virgin lands? Do you think he will accept an alternative for her? Surely he will find her to be a gift from heaven, or an angel landed from the orbits. In the apex of their glory, the Muslims used to live that way. Wherever you go, or travel, or walk in a marketplace or a street, you shall find the harsh sex everywhere. There is no presence of the female, except in the black shadows, which do not attract charm or arouse attentions. The women rest in Arabic houses like paradise. If a female wants to go out, she will find nothing but narrow roads that do not fill the eye with joy and do not please the viewer, as the roads are void of a beautiful scene. Thus, she prefers to stay in her beautiful house, and the man will not see anything but his own harsh sex outside his house or in his work, as if he were apart from the fair sex, like the man of the arid land or of the jungles. Whenever he enters his house and sees his female, that is, his wife, or no one other than women of forbidden degree of consanguinity. In contrast with the harsh sex, he finds his wife an invaluable blessing. In this respect, he does not see any other woman more beautiful than his wife. In seclusion, in her house, the wife does not see any man other than her husband. She cherishes him, and she realizes all her dreams.
In fact, I'm hearing strange things and concepts that were never heard of before. Please give me more of these brand new things. Blessed is your knowledge.
This overall screen or veil that also covers the face is not new to the Muslim. It is how it was since their early life in Al-Madinah, where God supported his honorable messenger, communication with Allah and peace are through him, and ordered him and the Muslim women to wear the veil. Furthermore, the departure of the Jews of Bani Qaynuqa took place when they belittled the veil of an Al-Ansar Muslim woman and tried to take it off her face. A passing by Muslim defended her, and the Jews killed the defender. Thus God's messenger, communication with Allah and peace are through him, drove them out of Al-Madinah, and then from the entire Arab Peninsula. The veil continued to exist, and prestige and victory continued to exist, until the Muslim disregarded it in the 20th century, so that the Jews disdained them, and they became the weakest among the nations. Thus we perceive the values of the screen and the veil. The veil was imposed on all heavenly religions. In the 30s of the 20th century, all Christian and Jewish women were veiled in the alleys and marketplaces. As for the Muslim, there was no unveiled woman until 1950. There was not even a Muslim woman that could uncover her face in Asham, Lebanon, Al-Ghouta, or in any Islamic or Arab countries. The unveiling in Egypt was recent, when the poet Hafez Ibrahim said, "I do not say, leave the women unveiled as men roaming in the marketplaces." In Great Britain, the veil prevailed. Even aristocratic women used to attend the Shakespearean theatre and sit veiled in closed galleries in order to see the social Shakespearean literary masterpieces.
Truly, I heard of that and I forgot about it. If you didn't remind me, it would be lost in a state of oblivion. Continue, brother. May God bless you.
Verily, the screen and the veil are important problems. If they were left and ignored, the capacities of young men and women would be sucked dry by their sexual sides, their money would be lost, and their hearts would be occupied by the charms of beauty, and the Freudian assumption would master their minds. Their efforts to build up their country would be in the abyss of sex, about which the Western scientists said, any person who fell into it would never be rescued. The sexual beginning would be their chief concern. Thus, they would neglect every innovation and invention. They would lose their worldly life and their afterlife by being drowned in sex and its frivolities, singing, mirth, music, dolls, and expensive fancy perfumes and diversity in clothes, whereas the military effort for the protection of the country would be lost, for they would be plunged into charms to attain that joy through taboo channels. If we could organize the problems of screens and veils, as God and his messenger, communication with Allah and peace are through him, did, the young men and women would consecrate themselves for building high, as did their fathers and the disciples of the great messengers of God. The young men and the young women would both have realized their goals. The sexual drive would be satisfied only in marriage. And both sexes would undertake to build a good country, or rather, a reformer for mankind. And everyone would be in their own world, for which they were born. When we applied this law, we conquered the whole world, and we were the best nation sent out for the people, to order good and to repulse evil. But nowadays, we have become a nation that lets other nations laugh at its ignorance. Thus we have not endeavored to conquer this worldly life, and neither can we compete with the greater states. So we have not done anything for our afterlife, whereas previously, with our faith, we mastered the world and led the nations to light and happiness in this world and the hereafter. Now, my free European brother, give me your ear to answer your first inquiry. You have said that the coexistence of the two sexes and the release of their desires will quench their affections and cool down their instincts or even kill them. I say that what fact decides is, first, the sexual instinct is inborn in every living creature, and it is liable to be excited on viewing beauty and the charm of the body, as long as man eats and drinks. The material of life from which he was created originates in his body. It will remain there and will come out only when it is aroused by charm and beauty. Second, the morals that grew and integrated cannot destroy the sexual instinct forces, but they can direct them towards good. Moreover, complete morals cannot change the present psychic laws. These remarks will be clear when tackling the subject of the veiling and unveiling.